You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Opportunities Party has released policy regarding a universal basic income for 18 to 23-year-olds who will receive $200 a week unconditionally. The party leader, Gareth Morgan, says it is no more controversial than giving over 65s a pension and that people in an affluent society like this are owed a duty of being able to live in dignity. I spoke to Jeff Simmons, the Opportunities Party deputy leader, to find out more about this policy.
Well, the idea is to give $200 a week, so that's roughly $10,000 a year, to everyone aged 18 to 23. So this is really leading on from our previous policies, which obviously there's already an unconditional basic income for over 65s, and we want to extend it for parents with children under 3 as well.
I see. And what's the rationale behind the policy?
Well, we hope to eventually extend an unconditional basic income to everyone. So the rationale there is that, the economy is becoming increasingly uncertain. People are going to be in and out of work a lot more. And the benefit system, with all of its eligibility criteria and stand down periods and punitive aspects, it just doesn't work. In fact, it really disincentivises work entirely. So that's kind of a long-term vision. The rationale for starting with 18 to 23-year-olds is this is the group that has the highest level of people who are not in employment, education or training, and it's also the area where we have the biggest mental health problems, the highest suicide rates.
In terms of financial stress, how do you think that plays into the youth's mental mindset?
Well, I mean, we know from studies that financial stress is a big part of it. And just the uncertainty, people trying to find work, you don't know whether you should take a job because if it doesn't work out, you've got a stand down period and all of that sort of stuff. All of these things definitely add stress to people's lives. So what we're trying to do is just simplify the whole thing. You have the safety and security of $200 a week. So if you want to start a business, if you want to pursue that creative career, if you want to, even just follow someone on their job for a while to see what they do, you can do those things.
Yeah, so maybe it might help young adults pursue what they love rather than something that'll make them money.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, but, with the modern economy, that's where things are gonna head. I mean, we don't know what the jobs of tomorrow are, and actually increasingly I would say that young people have a better idea than any bureaucrat in Wellington is going to know what the jobs of tomorrow are going to be. And what you love plays into that quite a bit. When the robots are driving all of our cars and trucks and all that sort of stuff, increasingly we are going to be freed up to pursue the sorts of things that we want to do.
So it's been costed at almost $3.4 billion.
Yeah.
How do you propose to pay for it?
Well, a bunch of that comes from the fact that we wouldn't need to pay job seeker allowance or student allowances to people in that age group, because effectively we're giving that to everyone. So that saves a whole bunch of money. Then, of course, there are the tax cuts that Stephen Joyce has promised, which pays for another $2 billion of that. And that really pays for most of the policy. There's a little bit, $0.4 billion left over, that would have to come from the budget surplus.
And why not just subsidise university tuition or other types of training instead?
Well, that really comes back to my point about the future of the economy. I mean, we don't know what the jobs of tomorrow are going to be. And actually, university isn't for everyone. I think increasingly young people are finding that university education isn't delivering the sorts of results that we expect. We're seeing the employment rates of university courses dropping in recent years and the expected returns dropping. So it's really just an admission that we don't know what the economy of tomorrow is going to be like. So actually, we trust you to know how best to invest in your future, to set your own goals and give you the freedom to pursue that. Besides, the other thing I'd say about university education is it really is middle-class welfare. I mean, most of the people that go to university are, reasonably well off. So giving student allowances and dropping tuition fees really just help people who have already had a pretty good start in life. What we're really trying to do is help those people who are right at the bottom.
is university more middle class because of the expense? So with Labor's policy, for example, 3 years free tertiary education, surely that would increase the demographic.
It would a little bit, but actually they've done studies on this. There's a really interesting study that was done by a UK charity on this very issue, because they were trying to get more poor people to go to university over there. And so they started working with sixth and seventh formers, and they made sure that all of the costs of university were taken care of, and that didn't solve the problem. So actually for a lot of people it's not a matter of cost, it's just the fact that they don't think they can, or they actually can't get entry into university. And they eventually worked out that the best way to help people get to university was preschool education, because that's really when people fall behind, when people from disadvantaged communities actually really fall behind. They turn up to school 2 years behind everyone else. And we're talking about five-year-olds here. They're 2 years behind at the age of five, and they never catch that up. So if you are a 17-year-old with the average mental age of a 15-year-old, which is what we're, bluntly what we're saying, if you come from a poor community, that's what's likely to happen, then you've got no chance of getting into university anyway. So actually that's why we've targeted our education package at free, full-time, high-quality early childhood education, because that's really what delivers the results. But I would say, look, with university, there are new methods of training that are popping up all over the show. I was talking to some people who are involved in the Ignite program last night. There's Live the Dream. There's the Dev Academy down in Wellington. There's all of these people doing some quite amazing new models of training that I think are much better suited to the 21st century. And, university is going to have to adapt or die.
So it's universal. Why not target it to people of lower socioeconomic standing or less income?
Yeah. So the problem with targeting is twofold. So one is, it's complex and creates administration costs. Okay, so we have to employ a bureaucracy to administer it. That's the problem with our current benefit system. The other problem is one of stigma, and you don't hear anyone complaining about universal New Zealand superannuation, but you hear a lot of people complaining about dole bludgers, and that's because it is targeted. Actually, making something universal really reduces the stigma associated with it. And the last point is really that a UBI encourages work, because if you are on a benefit, when you try to work, you lose that benefit. And so actually often you'll find people who are no better off if they go out and work. So an unconditional basic income says to you, look, we don't care what you do, we're going to give you the money. And we trust you to use it in the best way possible. And people actually, when they've experimented with the stuff, that's exactly what they have done. People haven't wasted on cigarettes and booze and drugs, which is what everyone thinks. They've actually invested it in their training and in their future and in setting up for their lives. So I would actually say that, targeting stuff is punitive, stigmatizing, complex. And it gives really bad incentives if you actually want to get out and work.
Right. So, yeah, part of it, because everyone gets it, it becomes more of a right in people's minds rather than a handout.
That's right. It's not seen as a right. It's seen as an investment. That's how we look at New Zealand superannuation. And that's very much what we're looking at with the unconditional basic income. And plus, people are worried about kids of rich people getting this. Well, we want to make sure that rich people are paying their fair share of tax. So that's another of our policies, is to make sure that we tax assets, which will really hammer wealthy people. So they're going to be paying for this. Don't worry about it.
In regards to the demographic of this basic income, 18 to 23-year-olds, like what you said before, a lot of people will be worried that they will just spend it on alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and just party. Where's the data that supports that they won't?
Well, when they've done trials on unconditional basic incomes overseas, what they found was that actually when you give people more money, they spend proportionately less of it on alcohol and booze. I'm not saying that people spend nothing on drugs and alcohol. Everyone spends money on that stuff. And, you know, we all deserve a right to a good time too. But actually, when you remove the stress from people's lives, they actually tend to spend less as a proportion of their income on that sort of activity. The big concern, of course, is that people will work less. But like I said, that doesn't actually get borne out from the experiments. People tend to work more. The only people that work less are those that are either staying at home to look after their kids or people who are doing training. And the crucial thing with training is it's not all about going to university or formal training or, you know, government-sponsored courses. Some people learn just by volunteering, by following people on the job. You know, I have a whole group of friends in Wellington who work at Weta, and none of them have formal qualifications for what they do. It's very highly skilled. They're very well paid. None of them have formal qualifications. They all learn by watching their mates and learning on the job. And that's exactly what we're trying to support.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.